It's good, isn't it? Well, good morning to you all. Happy Easter. Great to see you here today, especially if you are new with us today or visiting for Easter Sunday. Great to have you particularly here with us today. My name's Scott. I'm the minister here at St. Paul's. Hope to meet you a little bit later on over morning tea. Well, today is very much a day of celebration. Whatever else is going on in your life right now, whatever else is happening in our world, today we celebrate because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And that means big things for us, important things, things that matter most in life. I think we're up and running with the PowerPoint. There we go. We're actually focusing on 1 Peter 1, a few verses there today. The Apostle Peter himself celebrates. He is filled with praise for God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? In his mercy, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead has made something possible. You and I are able to experience new birth into a living hope. What is that exactly? Well, let's start with this idea of new birth. We all know about birth. We've all experienced that. What about new birth? New birth is when we are made alive, spiritually speaking. Without new birth, we are spiritually dead. We are cut off from God because of our sin. Sin is cutting ourselves off from God. It's living without God or Jesus at the center of our life or in our life at all. And the just consequence of that is God cutting us off. We are spiritually dead. And a dead person can't make themselves alive again. We can't give ourselves new birth. And we can't earn it by being good or religious or spiritual. It's not something we can buy. Only God can give us new birth. And thankfully, he is willing. He is merciful. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We celebrate it because it makes a difference in our lives, all of the difference. It's through the resurrection of Jesus that our new birth is possible. How so? Well, firstly, Jesus dies for our sin, Good Friday, God's mercy, forgiving our sins through Jesus' blood, even though we don't deserve it. And secondly, Jesus rises from the dead. He is the risen Lord. He is the one and only who has defeated death. New and everlasting life is made available through Jesus' resurrection. We can be born again into a living hope. Well, I guess the question is, on a day like today, is do you know this experience? Have you moved from death to life, spiritually speaking? Another way of asking this is, do you rely on Jesus' death for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you know God's mercy? Do you rely on Jesus' resurrection for life, new and everlasting life? Do you love Jesus as your risen Lord, your Saviour? As a young man, my answer to these questions was no. I wasn't interested in God. I had no idea what Jesus did that first Easter in terms of having anything to do with me whatsoever. But God changed that in his mercy. He gave me new birth into a living hope. He opened my eyes to the truth of Jesus' death, what Jesus' death achieved for me personally. He opened my eyes to see that Jesus is indeed the risen Lord, my risen Lord. And because he graciously gave me new birth, into a living hope. I wanted to live for Jesus, my Saviour and my Lord. Do you know that same experience? If so, with Peter, praise God. Celebrate again this Easter day. If not, then please do something about it. Ask questions, talk to someone, feel free to talk to me. Take an essential Jesus off the back table to read this Easter. It looks like that. Come and join us Sunday by Sunday to learn more. God wants us all to know his mercy and experience new birth into a living hope through Jesus Christ, because hope is something that we all need. I was very much reminded of that recently when I met a man just out the front there who wandered onto our church property just a couple of weeks ago. One afternoon he wandered in and we got to talking, and he was very upfront with me and very honest. He told me that he didn't really have any hope in his life. He had lived, well, he has lived a very successful and happy life, a very successful business, doing very well for himself, with family and so on. But he'd had his fair share of challenges as well, as we all do. But what he really wanted was something more, he was telling me. He wanted something, there was something missing, a gap in his life, something spiritual. He was interested in finding out a bit more about our church, about Christianity more generally, about Christ more specifically. Kind of like the story Simon shared at the start of our time together. He was looking for hope, and in particular, he was quite honest about this. He was looking for some hope beyond the grave. He's a more senior gentleman. It was an amazing conversation I had unexpectedly with this man. I shared Jesus with him as best as I could. My point of this story was, what it reminded me of is that people are hungry for hope in their life, real hope, lasting hope. Our hope in Christ is living hope, because he lives. Death is not the end. He is risen and reigning. His kingdom is eternal, and we are members of it if we belong to Christ. Peter says more about our living hope in the following verses. He says, in his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I'm sure that most of us here today have received a family inheritance of some kind, or if you haven't yet, I'm sure you wish that you did. An inheritance can make a big difference in your life. You can clear some debt, or you can buy something significant. You can go on an amazing holiday, or increase your buffer for a rainy day, a bit of security, or all of the above if it's a big inheritance. However, once spent, it's gone. Or worse, there's a family dispute over the inheritance, then the lawyers get a significant chunk of it. The inheritance that God gives will never perish, never spoil, never fade. It is eternal. Peter continues, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. We have a, We have a heavenly inheritance. A heavenly inheritance, a place in Christ's kingdom. He is raised from the dead and he will raise us. Nothing can be surer, because God is on the job, verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So yes, we will have life challenges. Christians are not immune from suffering grief in all kinds of trials, but our future is secure because God's power shields us. Thus this image. Have you seen Israel's Iron Dome in action? I prepared this early in the week, and then I saw, I think only a couple of nights ago on the news, it was in action again. Hamas was firing rockets into Israel, and the Iron Dome, a missile defense system, was doing its thing, shooting up missiles to knock down the rockets before they strike. We have an Iron Dome. God's power shields us when we face trials. We suffer grief in those trials, but God's power fortifies us. He gets us through those difficult times. He keeps us moving forward to our final destination, is what Peter is saying. He continues, these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This verse tells us that our suffering in trials has a purpose. God is refining our faith through those trials. They're not purposeless. He continues, though you have not seen him, you love him, that is Jesus Christ, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God will get us to the end. Of that we can be sure. Our hope is secure. We will be saved. So how do we respond to these things? Well, certainly we celebrate. This Easter Sunday, we rejoice in our new birth into a living hope through Jesus' resurrection. We are filled with that inexpressible and glorious joy because we know where we are going. Even if we are facing trials, even in our suffering, we have this joy because we have this hope. I'm reminded of our dear brother Trevor Cutmore, whom we lost only a few weeks ago. We think of the family without Trevor's presence this Easter. That's hard, that's painful, but we remember his model of joy, even in the face of his suffering and death, because he knew where he was going. We rejoice. We also trust in Jesus. We keep trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection for our salvation. We have a living hope because of his mercy, his grace, his love. We don't earn it. It's a gift. An inheritance is a gift. Our heavenly inheritance is a gracious gift, undeserved. We depend, we rely, we trust in Jesus. We rely on God's power also to get us to the eternal kingdom. When times are tough, when we are tempted to give up, his power shields us. When times are good and we are tempted to forget him and wander off, his power shields us. He will get me to the end, not on my own strength. I am weak and sinful. He, God's power, will get me to the end. Peter adds two more things in terms of our response. The first of these has to do with our mindset, verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. There are endless things to fill our minds with. Good things, holidays, family, friends, food, football. I wasn't happy last night. Two of my teams lost. These are some of the things that are on my mind this weekend, and I'm sure yours. Maybe not football, but those other things. There are harder things that fill our minds. Work that we don't want to think about for a few days, because it is otherwise constantly filling our minds. stressful things, our finances, cost of living pressures, interest rates going up, mortgage repayments, keeping the home, very stressful things. Bigger things like health issues, relational troubles, family dramas. There are so many things to fill our minds. I haven't even mentioned our phones and the constant flow of whatever it is that fills your mind as you scroll through. Amidst all this, God calls on us to have our minds that are alert and fully sober, not clouded, not distracted, but focused, clearly orientated on your future in Christ. That's to be our mindset. Because that future focus will shape the present. You probably know the saying that a person is too heavenly minded to be of any earthly value. Have you heard that before? You can't get anything further from the truth, because heavenly mindedness transforms the present. It changes your priorities, what you are living for. It gives perspective to all the other stuff that's going on in your head and in your life. And so we finish with this verse, this final application. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. See, if we have experienced God's mercy, if we have experienced new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, then we have joy, we have hope, certain hope, we have a new mindset, a future focus, which transforms the present. Our new birth has brought us into God's family. We are his children, the verse says. We are heirs as children of the eternal kingdom. So we live as God's children, children of God. We seek to grow into the family likeness, like Jesus, gladly obeying his Father, loving God, loving our neighbour in a Christ-like way, living for the King and his kingdom. That's a big change in life. That's different, holy. It's just another word for holy, distinct, different. Certainly different to how I lived before I was a Christian. Before, I lived for me and my desires. Now that I'm born again by God's mercy, I want to live for my loving Heavenly Father and my risen Lord who died to save me. That impacts every part of my life. The same is true for you. If you have experienced God's mercy, your life, your song, your joy, your hope this day on Easter Sunday and every day is this: praise be to God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen.